Good afternoon. How you doing? Great. I'm not David Self. It's good looking. He is. So my name is Jason Swigert, and I am not new to High Point or not new to First Baptist, but maybe new to you. So I've been on staff at First Baptist for about 18 years, and until recently, about a year ago, and then officially Easter Sunday, I became the campus pastor for a new campus we have at First Baptist out in Cyprus. So I'm Mr. Suburbia now. But it is great to be with you. I love High Point. I love the opportunities to get to teach here. I taught it for 4 years before David started teaching it about 10 years ago. So, and many of you are here way before I ever came here. The first Sunday first Wednesday, I guess, that I ever came to High Point years and years ago. So it's always encouraging to see, I was going to say old timers, but that doesn't sound good. Long timers, the faithful, that stick with it and are here each week. So how about the Mia Bella? That is good. That is great. It's a great change. So whether you're here for the food or the teaching, the food was great. The teaching might be mediocre, but you'll leave hopefully encouraged and from being with your friends and opening the Word and then having some lunch together. So let me pray, and then we'll jump into a few minutes of looking at God's Word together. Lord, thank you so much for your grace today and for your love, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to meet in an office building downtown Houston, the fourth largest city in the country, Lord, to open the Word of God. Amazing thought, Lord, and that for years and years on this plot of land, God, that people opened their Bibles, studied your Word, even had lunch in this place at a Bible study, a business luncheon when First Baptist was here years ago. Lord, thanks for the legacy that we get to participate in today that I do personally, getting to be here, getting to teach, getting to break bread with friends, and so thanks for that, Lord. Bless our time. I pray you bless our food. Thank you for the folks at Mia Bella and Diane and her crew that served today, and I pray that you would just encourage them and bless them for their work in that to feed us today, Lord. So we want to feast on your Word as we look at James, and so I pray, Lord, that you'd do your deal. You'd be faithful to speak to us. Don't just change us, transform us, and I pray we would leave differently. In your name we pray, amen. We're going to look at a great topic today, the tongue. How about that? We've been using it all day. Some of you are still using it. You're eating, and please keep eating. But we are going to look at the tongue. Marty Harper, who's serving over there, she said, "What are you talking about today?" I said, "The tongue." She goes, "Oh." So anyway, how about that for a word of encouragement? Then my wife, she said on the way, I called her, and she said, "What are you speaking?" I said, "The tongue." She was like, "Oh." So, but I think it was more for me than her. You know, she's sweet, and I'm not. So anyway, it's a good thing. So anyway, we're going to be in James, but we're going to go through a bunch of passages today, a bunch of scripture, single verses, some short passages, but we're going to look at the importance of the tongue and what God says about it and the importance of it. And so I'm going to read you a couple of verses as we start today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky, and evening came, and then morning, and then the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering of the water the seas. Then God said in verse 14, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day of the night. There will be the lights in the expanse of the sky to provide the light on the earth," and it was so. And then in verse 20, "Then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." And so God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. And then finally, "Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so." And God created man and woman in his image, and he said, "It's good." The tongue. There's a lot of power in the tongue and in the speech. And we see God's Word opens with him doing just that, speaking, and as he speaks, things happen. And so God gave us this little thing in our mouth. Let me tell you a few characteristics of the tongue. It's the strongest muscle in the body. Can you believe that? Probably because we use it the most. I use a lot of words to talk. I'm reminded that a lot at my house. And I have three boys. My oldest is 18, Chambers. He's about to head off to Baylor. I have a Harrison who is going to be a sophomore in high school, and Preston who's going to be an eighth grader. And then I have a wife who is more introverted than all of us. And so we all talk a lot. My youngest in particular, he is really annoying because he talks all the time. He's as sweet as gold, but he loves to talk. But it's the strongest muscle in the body. We use it a lot. It gives us the ability to speak. It can do tricks. You know, some people can do, I can't roll my R's. And people from Hispanic descent speak Spanish. They have this incredible, beautiful speech thing that they do with their tongues. They roll their R's. And so I went and bought some breakfast tacos for a meeting today from a lady in a taco store next to our church out in Cyprus. And her name is Yudira. But, you know, it doesn't have the R in it. I would say Yudira. But so I struggled to roll my R's, but some people can do that. Some people can do tricks. They can turn their tongue, like they can fold it, or they can turn it upside down, or they can make a flower. I mean, I don't know what all. It's like origami, whatever they do. But I can't do that. I got a thick, fat tongue. You don't have to put that on the tape. But anyway, but maybe one of the hardest characteristics that isn't fun, as James says, is that it's hard to tame. It's hard to tame. What kind of animals need to be tamed? Wild ones, that's exactly right. And so how interesting that James would say, it is hard to tame. It's like a wild animal. It's hard to keep control of. And so we're going to look at that today and see what the tongue is used for and then how we can play that out. You know, when I used to come here, I wasn't this gray and I didn't have glasses. And so some of y'all have grown older with me. And I have readers, so they come on and off. So it really bothers me. So if it bothers you, know that it drives me crazy to have to take them on and off. But that's just part of who you get when you get old, okay? So deal with it. Okay, first of all, James. We're going to look there real quick, and I'm going to read a passage probably that is very familiar to you. And it's in chapter 3. I went through the book of James this summer with my son. And I had some great takeaways, and so some of those you'll be hearing. Chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. I hate that verse. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who is also able to control his whole body. Now, when you put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also consider guide the whole animal. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how large a forest a small fire ignites. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. That's some pretty strong language. Every sea creature, reptile, bird, or animal is tamed and has been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. We praise our Lord and Father with it, and we curse men who are made in God's likeness with it. Praising and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. James writes some pretty tough language there about the tongue. And if you look at it, it's not real encouraging. But the great thing is we know who can give us the power to control our tongue. And we'll look at that. So I want to give you a theology of the tongue, if you will. And there are 7 points. So you have to listen and I'll say them and we can go through this together the next few minutes. But the theology of the tongue. The first one is if you hang out with the wrong kind of tongue, okay, people whose tongues are untamed, you will hang yourself. You'll hang yourself if you hang out with the wrong kind of tongue. Look at Proverbs, or if you have your Bible, you can look, but I'm going to read it regardless. Proverbs has so much to say. It's a wisdom book, but it has so much to say about the tongue. And in chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "The Lord hates 6 things. In fact, 7 are detestable to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet that run to anger, and a lying witness who gives false testimony, and one who stirs up trouble among brothers. Okay, 3 out of 7 of those things that he names in that passage deal with the tongue. Deal with the tongue. So if you hang out with the wrong kind of tongue or people whose tongue is untamed, you're gonna hang yourself. David was a man after God's own heart. He's the only one in the Bible called that, and so many times he's our example and go, Lord, give me the heart of David. In Proverbs chapter 30, it says this. It says, 2 things I ask of you, and this is David writing, don't deny them to me before I die. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me, and give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Great word. That's one of his prayers as a man after God's own heart. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. 1 Corinthians 5:15-33 tells us that, you know, bad company basically corrupts good morals. You know, bad company corrupts bad character or makes bad character. That's a great one we say as parents, right? We tell our kids, bad company produces bad, you know, bad morals. And it's true. Proverbs 11:9. I told you we're going to jump around a lot. It says, instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will learn more. So be around wise people and righteous people, and that becomes a part of who you are. And then chapter 17, verse 4, a wicked person listens to malicious talk, and a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Again, kind of birds of a feather kind of flock together. I tell you, one place this plays out for me is in sarcasm. And sarcasm is pretty hilarious, and I can go toe-to-toe with almost anybody. And I don't know if you know people that are sarcastic. When they're with someone who's sarcastic, the competition breaks out, okay? You've always got to up one each other. So when I met my wife, her name is Paige. We've been married 22 years this November. We met on a blind date. And so we had met, and we had been on a couple of dates. And I was kind of digging her, and I thought, she's probably digging me. So I remember thinking, I'm going to really make her laugh. And so we went somewhere, and I made a funny comment about somebody. I thought it was hilarious. And she looked at me, and she said, like, she turned sideways, and she said, I don't like sarcastic people. I don't know why I like you. And the power of the Lord came over me. I changed that day. Seriously, I mean, it was like, wow. I mean, she didn't say it that rude, but that's what I heard, you know. It was point blank, and it was heard, and it was acted upon. It really did. It really, God used that to change me. He changed me, but he used that to point that out. And so I have to be careful when I get around sarcastic people now, because that comes back out real quickly. And so sarcasm, I think, is one of those things. If you hang out with people who are sarcastic, most of the time you're going to become sarcastic. If you hang out with people that they have a lot of idle talk, you're going to lean toward or head toward idle talk. Works with teenage and little kids all the time. You know, when they get about 4 to about 8, it's potty talk, and it starts, and the more they do it, they think it's hilarious. My wife, she was one of 4 girls. She cannot figure out boys still to this day. Last week, she was like, no, why? Let's talk about it. We had a family meeting about why boys do this. You know, this does not make sense to her. And I was laughing, kind of. She did not find it humorous. She didn't feel like we were on the same team. And I was like, honey, I understand. Yes, boys, don't ever do that again. Oh, my word, that's hilarious. But again, who you hang out with, it affects you. If you hang out with the wrong kind of tongue, you're going to hang yourself. And I think that goes with negativity versus someone who speaks positive words. If you're around somebody who's negative all the time, you're going to tend to, it drags you down, and you can become that easily. Second thing is, if you make a mistake with your tongue, we'll call it a mistake, but the Bible calls it sin, you should not wait a minute to fix it. You should go immediately to fix it. And Proverbs 6:1-5 tells us this. This is a great kind of principle here. It says, my son, if you have put up security for your neighbor or entered into an agreement with a stranger, you've been trapped by your words of your lips, ensnared by the words of your mouth. Do this then, my son, and free yourself, for you have put yourself in your neighbor's power. And then it's a colon, and this is what it says. Go humble yourself and plead with your neighbor. Don't let your eye, don't give sleep to your eyes or slumber to your eyelids. Escape like a gazelle from a hunter and like a bird from a fowler's trap. These words are so hard for us, I think, as humans, but especially for men. I was wrong, okay? I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It covers over a multitude of sins if we could learn to say that, because so much of what we do is with our mouth. And if our tongue causes us to sin, then we need to act immediately on it. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you know when that happens. As soon as you say it, I don't know if you're like this, there'll be things coming out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, aha. You know, you can't stop it. You can't take it back. And so to be able to go, you know what, I'm as a parent, as a boss, as a coworker, as a husband or a wife, to say, you know what, I was wrong. I should not have said that. Will you forgive me? Goes leaps and bounds in relationship and I think in godliness. Number three, the tongue can destroy a land or deliver it. It can destroy a land or deliver it. In Proverbs, again, a lot of verses in Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 6, says the words of the wicked are a deadly ambush, but the speech of the upright rescues them. We'll talk about kind of how that plays out in just a second. And then in chapter 16, verse 10, it says God's verdict is on the lips of a king. His mouth should not give an unfair judgment. So again, the tongue can destroy because it can be judgmental and it can set the course and destiny on someone, or it can give life, it can give blessings. I have a friend I was talking to recently. He's a great friend of mine, walks with me spiritually, close to me, accountability, huge respect between the two of us, and we were talking recently, and he told me an experience. So he was in the corporate world for a long time. He's a little bit older than me. I'm 48, and he's a couple years older than me. Got a finance degree, and at some point felt called to ministry, and so Young Life in particular. And so we were talking about our relationships with our dads and moving through that as our father's age, and we have children, that kind of stuff. So we're doing those things that men talk about on occasionally, sometimes, that we did not, you know, we say we don't, but we do. So I was talking to him, and he said he still remembers when he told his dad that he was going to go with Young Life and get out of the corporate world, and his father said, "You're a fool." And as he told me that, as a 52-year-old man with emotion in his eyes, it still has an impact on him. It has an impact on me to hear that, and then to say that, to imagine my kid, my boys, to look at them, to think if I would ever look at them and say, "You're a fool." You talk about sucking the life out of somebody. And we can do that with our tongue. But on the other side, we can give life with our tongue. And so I believe that that God created it like that. And I believe the power of the Father is huge. And I believe the experience of biblically, that we have the power over our kids as dads and parents in general, ladies, you too, but to bless our child, to physically give them a blessing is amazing. And so there's power. Just as God spoke and said, "Let there be life," I think we as people can speak into people's lives and say, "Let there be life." Not bring death, but bring life. And so I can still remember situations meeting certain people and them saying things that killed my spirit. I mean, I'm 48, and I'm like, when will I get over, you know, couple skating with Sandy when I was in third grade and she said something rude to me? I'm like, that was a long time ago. Why is that? I need to go to counseling, obviously. But it does. It affects us. So the tongue can either destroy life, destroy a land, or it can deliver it. A king can make a decision by what he says to bring freedom. A master could give freedom to a slave. A king could give freedom. A president can declare war. I mean, there's power in spoken word. And I think that's what James says here in part of the theology of the tongue. Number four, a wise tongue can fill you with good things. Just as this dad said something negative to his dad, a wise tongue can fill you with good things. In Proverbs 12, verses 14, it says, "A man will be satisfied with good by the words of his mouth, and the work of a man's hands will reward him." So really, a wise tongue can fill you, the speaker, with good things. Think about how much better you feel if you're encouraging someone versus tearing them down. For a minute, tear down feels pretty good. But after a while, conviction comes, and you go, I shouldn't have taken, you know, said that, and I got to take it back. Chapter 25, verse 11, says, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples on a silver tray. An appropriate word at the appropriate time is like gold apples on a silver tray. That's like a gift. Number 5, a fool's tongue is a magnet for disaster. It's a magnet for disaster. Chapter 18 of Proverbs has just tons of that. That in it so much. And let me read it to you. One who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. He rebels against all sound judgment. And so community is a good thing. We're made for it, and we need that. We don't need to be isolated. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off his opinions. Ouch. When a wicked man comes, contempt also does, and along with dishonor and disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, a flowing river, a fountain of wisdom. It's not good to show partiality to the guilty by perverting the justice due to the innocent. A fool's lips lead to strife, and his mouth provokes a beating. A fool's mouth is his devastation, and his lips are a trap for his life. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him. And then verse 20, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is satisfied. He is filled with the product of his lips. Life and death, verse 21, are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Man, there's so much power in the tongue. A fool's tongue is a magnet for disaster. If you don't say the right things, godly things, then you reap what that sows. Number 6, a fool's tongue or a foul tongue is a fleeting tongue. It's a fleeting tongue. It's not long lasting. In verse 12, chapter 12, verse 19 says, truthful lips will endure forever, but a lying tongue only for a moment, because your character is known and people won't trust you, and they won't take you at your word, which is an important thing that we desire from people. Chapter 22, verse 12, it says, the Lord's eyes keep watch over knowledge, and he overthrows the words of the treacherous. That means they don't last very long. He overthrows the words of the treacherous. And then finally, a tongue can spark fire of trouble, or it can put a fire out. In chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. I think I see this one played out the most in my kids' life as I watch them and try to parent them, because they're just like me, sadly. But they love to get the last word. Know anybody like that? Anybody like that? Y'all like that? Yeah. My wife's like, would you just listen? I'm like, honey, be godly. Just listen to me. just kidding. Submit. But my two youngest in particular always have to have the last word. So, you know, we try to let them work through it. But every once in a while I have to stand in. It's like, okay, you stop. And so while I'm correcting him on this guy's, Harrison, on Preston's behalf, Preston starts mouthing off one more time. So then I got to jump over here, and I'm not using my tongue very nicely on that. You know, wrath of Papa was coming down on him. And so then Harrison jumps back in. It's like, just don't have to have the last word. Don't put fire or wood on the fire. Don't fan the flame. Be the one to stop the fight. Be more mature than that, like me. But and they're like, we are like you. That's why we're fighting. We're getting the last word in. So anyway, having that last word, that's a tough thing. But a tongue can spark fire of trouble, or it can put it out. So the 7 things, let me read them real quick. If you hang out with the wrong kind of tongue, you're going to hang yourself. If you make a mistake with your tongue, you should not wait a minute to fix it. The tongue can destroy a land or deliver it. Wise tongue can fill you with good things. A fool's tongue is a magnet for disaster. Fool's tongue or foul tongue is a fleeting tongue. And a tongue can spark fire or trouble, or it can put out a fire. So here's the summary, if you will. The tongue should do three things. It should give light, it should bring freedom, and it should give life. Give light, bring freedom, and give life. Can you imagine if we used our tongue for those things only? What our families would be like, what our workplaces would be like, what our walk, personal walk would be like with Christ, if those are the things that were coming out of our mouths in particular. My wife makes fun of me because I do a lot of email, obviously, and I meet with a lot of men, and I consistently end an email, I'll say, you're a good man. And so, and usually you're a good man with a good heart, and she's like, do you put that to everybody? I'm like, well, not everybody, but for me to hear as a man, for somebody to say, you're a good man with a good heart, that brings life in me. Because that's not always how I feel, and that's not what always the enemy is telling me or how I live. But to hear someone tell me that, it makes me go to the, I can continue on that day. And I can continue on to say, you know what, God is a good God, and I continue to pursue him, and I can continue to speak, hopefully, encouragement, exhortation to other people because I received it. So if you ever email me and I don't put, you know, you're a good man, don't go, he doesn't think I'm a good man. It's not true. Just say, you didn't tell me I was a good man. I'll say, you're a good man, and everything will be good. So, but the tongue should give light, bring freedom, and give life. There's this theory that we're born, at one time we were born with a native tongue predetermined, okay? So the language we would speak was predetermined. So a doctor had babies born and made sure that no one spoke to them or in front of them, so they wouldn't hear a language, but they would see what language each child spoke that was predestined to speak. And so what happened is that they never spoke, and they eventually died. So not a good laboratory experiment, but we're not predestined to do that. The thing we're predestined to do in Ephesians 4:29 tells us we're God's workmanship, and we are created as a poem, as poetry, as art to reflect him and to do specific things and to live for him that are beautiful to the world to display his glory. And so we do that through our speech is one of those ways that we do that. The tongue, it curses, it betrays, and it kills as well. Some of us, our tongue is tamed, and others of us, our tongue is out of control. And so is there hope? And the answer is yes. And obviously, it comes through Christ. It comes through you give your life to Christ, you become a follower and a believer of Christ, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus was saved, or that he was buried and raised, and you will be saved, and believe in your heart. And so it starts with that confession of your mouth. Isaiah's problem in the Old Testament, when God appeared to him, was that he was a man of unclean lips. It was his tongue. And a coal was put on his tongue, and it was purified. I don't want that. I'd rather the Holy Spirit just whoop, whack it off would be good. And that's what happens. That's what we need him to do to us. We need to cleanse and to put new words in our mouths. It's the fruit of the Spirit thing. So the application is this. I try to talk this about my boys, but I also try to do this with me too. Even as I'm about to say something, I think, is it true? Is what I'm about to say true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And if we can speak, thinking about those three things, and knowing that we can give life, or we can take life away, we can start a fire, or we can put a fire out, we can curse, or we can bless, we can be salt water, we can be fresh water. If we can have that in our mind, and we can pray about that, and think about, even as you go back to your office today, the person sitting next to you, do you want to breathe life into them, or do you want to breathe fire on them? Which it could be, you know, it might be that kind of day, and they might be that kind of person. But today, don't do that, okay? Live by the Spirit. We're gonna close with a video, and it's a music video, but there's no band. It's music, but it's great. It's a song called Words, and you might know it, but I think it's a great application. So let's watch that, and then we'll pray.
They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free.
They made me feel like a criminal, made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been, and they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up, words can break you down, start a fire. Is the only thing we need to hear. Words can build us up, words can break us down, start a fire in our hearts or put it out.
The power to be the voice for the Lord, that is amazing. I mean, I'm sitting there, watched that, and I've watched it because I'm the one that said we're going to do it, but the power that's strong. I'm going to close, but I want to tell you one last story. I got this little bracelet on. It says JH Ranch. It's where I took my son. Chambers, my oldest son. I took my middle son there last summer for a week, and so I spent a week with my oldest son. He's a great guy. I've always been close. Huge mutual respect for each other. Just a great, great guy. So one of the things, it's adventure-based, real high content, real high adventure, and so you match the two. It's a pretty cool concept. But so one of the things you do is this low ropes course one day, and it wasn't like a trust fall kind of thing. He's like, oh, great, we're going to trust fall. We're not going to trust fall. We're okay. But one of the things they have you do, you follow up. You blindfold the kid. Okay, don't just listen to the part of this and go, he's talking about a cult. You blindfold your kid, and you tell him three things, and you're at the bottom of this mountain. You say, okay, you know, three things. I love you. I'm here for you. And listen only to my voice. And so then you start this process, and you walk them up the hill behind them, and you can touch them, and you can talk to them. And so I'm saying, Chambers, there's a step about 12 inches in front of you. And so, okay, move to your right just a little bit. You're about to hit a tree. Okay, okay. Then at some point, you take your hands off of them, but you can still talk. And then while you're talking, they'll plant people to run by and say, hey, Chambers, move over here. Watch out, there's a tree. You know, to distract them. And then finally, you have to stop talking to them, but you can talk to them if they ask you a question like, Dad, are you there? Yes. Where do I need to go? And you can tell them. So it was an amazing experience because he, you know, when I let go of him, he kept going, and the girl ran by and said, hey, Chambers, you're about to hit a tree. Move to your right. And he was like, I only listen to my father. I was like, amazing. And not just that he listens to me. I mean, please don't listen to me. But the spiritual ramifications, I listen to my Father. I know his voice is just powerful. And so then he went on, and I got quiet, and he said, "Dad, are you there?" "I'm here." So he sat there for a long time, and I was like, "You can ask me a question. You can't say it." Finally, he goes, "What do I need to do?" So I could tell him. So after this, after you get to the top, you debrief, you talk about it, and then they have the dads and the sons. Basically, they said, "I want you to look in each other's eyes, and for 30 seconds, you're going to basically speak to your son and affirm your son," and they do it back. Y'all, I mean, you're with all these type A dads that, you know, we're all trying to impress each other because we're all 13. But to hear all of a sudden these sobs of these men as their kid, as they speak truth over their kids, looking them in the eye, and then their sons are saying this back to them, is just powerful. The power of the tongue is unbelievable. Will you agree with me that we can trust the Lord and seek to honor him today with our tongues? So as you leave today, you can breathe life into someone. You can speak. You can be the voice of God to someone about who they're created to be, what God has for them. You never know just what that one word of encouragement could do to them today. Just that one word of you, or the fire you could start, or the death you could bring through one word, the tongue. Let's pray. Ooh, Lord, how creative you are when you made us and you trusted us with this muscle in our mouth, and then we have a will to use it for good or for evil. So, Lord, today I just want to ask you that you would do something in our lives to help us be mindful, help us have the mind of Christ as we leave this place, Lord, and see opportunities where we can breathe life and even people who are dead today, maybe just need a word, Lord. And in doing that, Lord, we'll bring you honor and praise. And I pray, Lord, we'll use our tongue to tell people about you. We'll use our tongue to praise you. And even if we have a situation or we find ourselves in a difficult situation, Lord, help us use our tongues today to praise you and say, you know what? Today's today, but his mercies are new every morning, and tomorrow's a new day. So, Lord, we just offer ourselves to you. And as silly as it seems, Lord, we offer our tongues to you and ask that they would be used for your glory, even in downtown Houston, the fourth largest city in our country. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great day. Thanks for being here.